You are the owner of the Uncommon Garden, which is quite a place. And every year, now, how many years have you been doing this?
This will be the third annual.
The third annual? And so you, when did you start building the garden?
Officially, for the record, I'd say around 2000, the summer of 2000.
Wow.
So it's been 11 years in the making.
So it's a very slow process. You've got so much stuff in there. It's just an amazing place. And you brought some. You brought a little flyer here, which I'm going to hold up to the... Looks good.
He's holding it up to the camera that you can see if you go to wackelinstern.com.
And the website for this is www.uncommongardentour.com. And that's happening just one day, correct? That's just
correct.
One Saturday.
A week from this Saturday.
Oh, wow. So you guys were just in the midst of, I came by the other day and you were in the middle of trying to get everything done in time. And the dragon, I got to tell you, that's something else.
Oh, it's amazing.
That one's been under construction for probably 7 out of those 10 years.
Oh, has it really? Well, yeah. That's easy.
I believe that.
It's easy to see, when you see
just
the detail.
The feet.
And artists have a tendency to want to change things in mid-painting. And with Rockscape, that's a little bit more challenging.
Mm. Boy, no kidding. So now, you gave me a map when I got there, and there's several different areas that are designated. I meant to bring it with me, and I forgot. So tell us a little bit about just the history of the garden and how it has evolved into what it is now.
Well, I started off in 2000 really without some master concept of what it was to be, other than a general notion of putting in a walkway around, a hard surface walkway, so that I could get some exercise in my wheelchair and kind of commune out there. I had a whole series of loblolly trees and some more mature trees, including right across my property boundary, over a 200-year-old white oak that's just magnificent. Mm-hmm. And several other trees I never even knew were there. They're large elm trees that you don't see too often in this area. So I thought, let me put this trail in, and also I wanted to put a gazebo in one corner, and a storage shed, or that could become a studio spare bedroom in time. But after 2 years of getting that accomplished, I was looking for a local artist to commissioned to have him just do a traditional zinc garden in the middle, you know, with the rake sand and boulders in the middle that you'd see very commonly in zinc gardens. And lo and behold, I ran into a local artist. His name was Rick Hermanson. Rick came back with some ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's very famous in the area for his sand carvings over at Weaver Street Market. He's done those several times, including a very moving piece that I saw. It was the 9/11 commemorative piece that you have. And he's done a number of others, and he's taught a lot of people how to do that particular art form.
Well, and he's very good. He had a one-day sculpture show up there before the gallery Ted Bleeker.
Out of the bush.
Yeah, Ted Bleeker was still alive.
That was my first time I truly met him, was out of the bush, too, and that was quite a melange of different performers, artists, poets, singers, you name it.
Well, and just his work alone blew me away.
Yeah.
I mean, he does all kinds. It's not just sand. He does all kinds of sculpture.
Yes, he enjoys probably sculpture, from what I've seen, of his work more than anything. But he learned the trade of being a stonemason, you might say, by virtue of working on the garden, as well as a number of other things that he had to master to a degree. Not that we didn't bring in a number of other artists, a whole number of different stonemasons, broken tile mosaic artists, a whole range of different people, and countless number of different carpenters at various times. But the garden just continued to evolve. He came in with an artist conception drawing about the time I hired him, and I liked it, but it didn't. There were a lot of spaces there. As we began to build the garden out, we would have discussions because he could never turn that creative fountain off. Mm-hmm. So I'd say no is probably as many or more times than I'd say yes, or maybe a maybe. Literally, it just kept evolving. And the fundamental concept is to create a series of exterior rooms of different sizes. Some are large enough to have, well, we had my daughter's wedding in one area known as the amphitheater, and we had over 160 people there at that time.
Oh, amazing.
We could have larger groups there to listen to music in the outdoor amphitheater part. There are other areas that are much smaller, such as one of three upper rooms that you climb stairs to get to. But there are different variations on certain artistic design elements. Waves are predominant throughout the various garden, as are water features making noise and whatnot, mm-hmm. as are serpents and mm-hmm. Dragons, of course. Those are probably the serpents and dragons were more likely Rick's animal totems, but all of us have seen those in one form or another in our lives, I guess. Mine is more the crow, and we've got a few of those in the garden, too. Mm-hmm. But as we develop one idea, we would decide, well, that was nice. Let's see how far we can push this idea. So we had a tendency to take things to their illogical extreme. Torrey gates started off in proportionate design to what you'd find in China and elsewhere as a Shinto symbol. And we began to do artistic versions of that in various places. Same thing with the yin-yang. We took the yin-yang to its ultimate illogical extreme, I guess you'd say.
It looks great, though. Yeah. You know, the little, like I said, that looks like a drum to me. You know, the
larger one that's my acoustic stage in the amphitheater.
And I love the snake that's utilitarian, the one that's a trough in the sidewalk for the water hose to fit into.
Oh, that's right. that's right. There are different things like that that we tried to make functional as well as, you know, where they can pop out. It's surprising how many people have been to the garden several times and they may not have seen that particular feature. And that's kind of the intriguing part, that one of the ways we bait the hook or dangle the carrot in front of people is to say, well, if you've seen it before, come back. It's changed. Conversely, you missed these details before and now you'll see them.
I think it's just so important to say right now and again later that this garden is in Chapel Hill. It's basically across the street from Carol Wood. Oh, it's not. It's not any place that you would imagine that it is.
It's roughly within a mile of Carol Wood.
But this is a fundraiser for the Arts Center next week. And if you love the Arts Center, and we all know that the Arts Center needs help, this is a way for you to show your support for the Arts Center and have quite an experience for yourself.
Val hasn't even gone through.
I've only seen the video that Jackie put on Facebook today, and it healed me. I've returned from a rather traumatic vacation, and
in Cozumel.
It turned me around.
That's good.
Well, I also have recently lost my beloved dog.
Oh, and I'm sorry to hear that.
So it's been really hard to be home. He died just before I left, and it's been hard to be home and him not be there. And taking a virtual tour of your garden was very healing to me. And next week, April 30th, from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., every hour, 60 people are allowed to tour the garden at $30 each, a fundraiser for the Arts Center. Now, go ahead.
I would add to that little plug, I appreciate that, that the parking for this event, if you purchase the tickets, to be 15 minutes ahead of the time that the bus will depart. The bus departs 15 minutes beforehand from Timberline Shopping Center. So you want to be early before your appointed time in the garden. Also in the garden, we will have music at different times throughout the day, including a harp player, sitar player, and then
wonderful.
A local group, a subset of Rootsy, Gregory Blaine, his partner, and a fiddle player will be there, but they're trying to do ambient music to enhance your experience, not detract from it.
Yeah. Right.
Plus, we have artists that'll be in the garden. So far, we have three artists that have committed to be there most of the day. They happen to also be pretty well-known instructors at the Art Center, so we're trying to painting plein air.
Yes. That's a great idea, so you can show people what they can get at the Art Center, you know.
And also we'll be doing another raffle like we did last year of a scene from the garden that's custom framed by frame makers. That was a very popular thing last year, and I think you'll like it's a print on canvas, stretch canvas. You can buy your tickets for that. We'll also be selling hens and chicks that you can take home that are multi-different colored varieties of that. If any of you are fanciers of those particular succulents, we'll have those for sale. And postcards, the commemorative postcards of the thing. So that's sort of the commercial side of the garden and what we're trying to do. But it's every penny we make on this venture is really well spent to support the Arts Center, and we all need your help. This is a community, a very vital element serving the community. It employs more artists than any other entity within the county. Please come out and support us, and at the same time, come enjoy the garden.
Oh, and you will.
Now, you're on the board for the Arts Center, right?
That's correct.
And how long have you been involved with the Arts Center?
Besides being a participant before that time frame, I've been on the board. I'll be 6 years in June.
Okay.
On the board, I've been secretary on the board for five of those 6 years. So, it's a worthwhile organization, and it's had a lot of press recently that we're having tough times, and that's true of virtually any nonprofit arts organization statewide. But that's not to say that there isn't really good light at the end of the tunnel on this, and we
definitely need
your support.
I mean, it's not just nonprofits that are having a tough time. You see businesses failing left and right these days. I feel fortunate to be sustaining. I mean, for nonprofits, this is an awful time for them, because as things tighten up, you know, your giving dollars become less, and therefore people become very choosy about what they give to, if they can even afford to give. So this is real, but this is a great fundraiser because you're getting something so much better out of it, you know, to walk through the garden and just have this wonderful experience. It's definitely worthwhile.
We'll have 12 different docents stationed at the various features around the garden that folks have questions. We're just going to let people circulate, but there'll be people that'll be easy to identify at all the various features of the garden, and I'll be circulating around, as well as we'll have a master gardener there, because there are plants there I certainly can't identify. Mm-hmm. But we have, for instance, one of my passions is our Japanese maples and trying to find different varieties of that. We have right now over 40 Japanese maples in the garden. About 28, 29 of those are unique varieties. And I'm trying to add more.
Who knew there were that many?
Oh, there's over 1,000 Japanese.
Really?
Yeah, that's a very
unique cultivated
variety. I have is one that's is 38 years old now. And that's part of the tension. In one feature, you probably went into the wave room, where we had this 38-year-old tree sitting on top of these waves that are kind of hard to describe. They're concrete waves with multiple waterfalls in them. And the tree is up there, and directly opposite on the trail where you come in is this towering steel structural tree that's been welded together from pipe and steel plate.
That is such a wild piece.
It is. I wanted to climb it as soon as I saw it.
Yeah, it's been the feature of some of... You could go to the website and you can see pictures of the garden that give you at least a two-dimensional look, but everybody that's ever been there say, you know, that just the pictures don't do it justice.
No. Right.
Unless I want to shoot a video of it, and even then, it's not like being in it and immersed in it.
No, it's not like being in it.
But Jackie shot a great video. She wants to add music to it. I said that the water, the waterfalls that you can hear, and you know the birds.
Yeah,
that's
the waters
music enough.
But I was also there when work was going on, so there's a little bit of hammering and sawing and stuff like that. That's what I want to cover up. The sound of the water is just really so enticing, I think, you know.
Yes. So, Dan, how long have you lived in that house? I mean, I guess there's a house that goes with the garden.
Right. It's sort of a Martha Stewart house in the Martha Stewart neighborhood, but I always like to jokingly refer to it that's the way it is in the front, but you walk in the back, and it's more like the lair of Conan the Barbarian. But it is, it's hard to, once you know where it is, I guess you can figure it out. But for the most part, it's pretty well hidden away.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there. I moved in after building the place, moved in 1997, in November of 97. So we're going on 14 years now.
Mm-hmm. So you moved this 37-year-old maple with you.
No, I didn't bring it with me.
Oh.
I've had some talented people, horticulturists, plant people, looking for various things.
Oh, I see.
And I have some people that come and help that like to work on Japanese maples of all sorts in the area, which is really handy to have.
You must know my neighbor, Doug Lutie.
That name sounds familiar, but I haven't met him. I guess I need to invite him over.
He is reputed to have the greatest collection. He's the seller of the Japanese maples. And
it's funny because my previous horticulturist that I had was the curator of the Coker Arboretum on campus, Dan Stern. He's since moved on and working on his master's, I think, up at a famous garden. And I don't know if it's DuPont Gardens.
I can't remember where he went.
But he bought plants from everybody in the area.
We're almost out of time, so I'm going to say the website one more time. It's uncommongardentour.com, and it's happening on April 30th, next Saturday, a week from tomorrow. So check it out, and this is something that you're going to have a great time with, so I know you're going to enjoy it. And thank you so much, Dan, for coming on.
Thank you.
And see the video on...